96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 26th of June, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. If it's a Wednesday, that means it's a man down mashup Wednesday, where we combine both On the Clock with Erin Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary to discuss what's in the news. There's lots in the papers today, including this headline in today's Nassau Guardian, PLP ready for battle. I think we're going to talk about that this morning. Here are some other headlines. Under Act for Disabilities, no one ever prosecuted. And a related story, posthumous victory for ousted head of Disabilities Council. Couple more stories. Was CBS Bahamas raided? And we see in today's Guardian business section, VP, visit to CBS from Revenue Tax Task Force, excessive. We got some questions around that. I have this interesting story, 4th of June, government launches voluntary tax compliance initiative that speaks more about the enhancement, revenue enhancement task force. Eleuthera plagued with poor water supply. Government warns Eleuthera firm after water woes on island. And a story in the Nassau Tribune that did not post in the online version of the Tribune as of last night. Eleuthera's 10-day water crisis, like stepping back 20 to 30 years. Lots of stories. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning this morning. It's always great to be here. This is Wednesday, Man Down Mashup Wednesday. I'm excited about the topics that you've selected. I'm ready to
go
into it. Yeah.
So the numbers to call, to join the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for family island residents.
It seems as if the PLP is ready now.
I mean, they are ready.
It seems as if election.
What are they ready for?
Election, eh?
Oh, I thought retirement.
No, no, no. This is a young crew.
Who's the young crew?
I mean, I don't mean Brave.
You don't mean the people who run in the party?
I don't mean Brave Davis or Fred Mitchell. I mean the rest of them.
Right, you're not the people who are actually running the party. The other people in the party is a young crew.
Yes, a young crew. They have a lot. They have a big bench. A big bench.
Well, I would like to investigate further and find out what the PLP is ready for, because I cannot imagine.
An early general election.
Again, they're ready for retirement then, is what you're saying.
I don't know.
Because what will an early general election bring the PLP?
It would mean that my prime minister is going to have two terms.
He does have two terms. In fact, he has three. Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, and MP for Cat Island, where Bahamas Air don't go.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that, you heard that quote by the Prime Minister?
I did. I was a little disappointed, but I smiled.
Like, you know, when you're trying to score a point,
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to throw a blow,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you don't realize that you've actually damned yourself even further. I'm referencing the Prime Minister's attempt to explain the rationale for the purchase of the plane. I wish you would pull up that little quote I did send you, Mr. Newry. Like, I want to read it verbatim. I don't want anybody to think, particularly Mr. Newry, that I lying on his Prime Minister.
Don't lie on my Prime Minister, please.
That would be a horrible thing. But when asked about the cost of charters compared to the cost of purchasing the plane, a follow-up question was, well, like, what about Bahamas Air? And the Prime Minister retorted, like, hey, you don't know that Bahamas Air doesn't fly to our family islands?
We don't just live there. No, we don't just fly here.
We have to swim here.
Yeah.
That's what it should say. And he made the point that it doesn't, Bahamas Air doesn't even go to Cat Island. And I just want to say to the Prime Minister that I'm aware that you were speaking, what they call that, Mr. Newry, off the cuff? You were speaking off the cuff after walking out of a press conference, but surely you should not be reminding people of your failures when trying to explain away a problem. In fact, Mr. Newry, how many different versions of the airplane story have we had so far?
At least about 4 to 6 different versions of the airplane story.
I just am not sure exactly what's happening. So here are the quotes. And I took these quotes from a soundbite captured by Eyewitness News. The headline is On the Defense. Bahamas Air don't go to all of our islands. In fact, Bahamas Air don't even go to Cat Island. I just want to say, sir, don't say that next time. Don't say something else like Bahamas Air owe Cat Island some money and they may never get the plane. Say something else, but don't say that the national flag carrier, the national carrier, does not go to all of our islands with that tone as if you are chastising or correcting someone. That's an embarrassment. However, I will make this note. In this interview, it's the first time I heard the Prime Minister use the word archipelago.
That's nice.
It's very nice. Do you think the others will start using it?
Did he stutter? Did he pronounce it properly?
No, he pronounced it properly.
Good for him.
Yeah. You just got to be brave.
Yes.
Just say it one time. Push it out. Yes. You get it right.
I understand.
I was very, very perturbed by that, Mr. Newry. Also, here's a quick note. I see a story from the Honorable Leon Lundy, MP. When do you get to call yourself honorable? Is it after a second term?
Second term.
Has Lundy served 2 terms?
No, Lundy hasn't served 2 terms, nor does it look like he might serve a second. Anyway, go ahead.
The story, Central Andres, have you tested out your new ATM?
Okay.
That's all they posted.
Has the gym and that community service open yet?
I'm not sure. You know, they touted that the gym was being built as a part of the Bahama Games.
Mm.
So the teams could train at home in Andres.
Yeah.
And the expectation was initially that some games would be played in Andres.
Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
No, the whole narrative changed.
Yeah.
The whole narrative changed. I just would like the MP responsible for, I was at South and Central Andres, to know that one ATM is not worth celebrating. You are not going to cajole, force, encourage, even imply that you should be celebrated because there is one ATM in Central Andres.
Trying to say they ain't getting no bank. They should be grateful.
No, they already know that.
No.
They already know that they ain't getting no bank. I wonder if this airplane is going to be used to facilitate the movement of funds to be transferred to banks so that residents of Andres could stop paying pilots to do their banking for them.
Hmm.
It's horrible. Here's another quick note. I saw a video from a gas station robbery last night on social media.
Okay.
And here's what I found odd, Mr. Nureed. The gentleman was inside the gas station for an unreasonable amount of time, considering there was no one actually being served at the time. And you saw him like reaching in his pocket, you know, and I know that feeling because you know you had another 75 cents, maybe even a whole $1.50 way to change in your pocket, but you just can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you digging in your pocket. And then all of a sudden, this boy pulls out a gun. And he takes a gun to the window. And he obviously is demanding money. And he's given something. I don't actually see that part. And then he leaves. And he leaves through the unlocked door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me ask the question, what's the gas station setup? Especially gas stations that have a convenience store element, right?
Mm.
Given the high number of incidents in the U.S. with convenience store and gas station robberies, I thought by this time that all gas stations in the Bahamas would have bulletproof cages for the cashiers, right? Where the glass is bulletproof, the window that's open for the exchange of money and small items, that there's a mechanism that drops to close that off.
Mm-hmm.
So the assailant can't push the gun through the hole and start shooting at people. Aren't our gas stations, I mean, shouldn't they be required to have a locked room, a safe room for cashiers and staff to retreat to if if someone comes to rob them?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they be able to lock the doors automatically from the safety of the lock room so that the assailant is trapped in the establishment until the authorities arrive?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, like, these should be like the easiest things to deal with. I remember, Nure, I told you we had that story earlier in the week from the gas retailers. Pintard is chastising the government about what he says is a lack of attention to a most serious issue. And in that article, Vasco Bastian, the vice president of the Gas Retailers Association, is quoted as saying that they've been trying to negotiate this issue for roughly 30 months. Right? So we know that the gas station owners, the retailers, are in a tight spot in terms of revenue. Like, these ideas they're talking about are lofty and they cost money. I thought that was a basic, like, I thought we were at the point possibly where that was legislated, mm-hmm. that if you're going to have a gas station,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the business owner has an obligation to protect their staff. And that obligation is shown through installing the proper safety mechanisms
mm-hmm.
to protect staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to the gas station story now. When Vasco Bastian said that they had been trying to negotiate this for 30 months, I thought to myself, what else has been happening for roughly 30 months?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back to Labor Day.
Okay.
When O.B. Ferguson revealed or exposed that one of the terms of the agreement with the MOU between the PLP and opposition and the unions, the trade congresses, at the time, both of them signed on to the MOU, was that the unions would attempt to quell industrial unrest.
Mm.
He didn't say for how long, but he did say that we have lived up to our agreement up to this point, but the government hasn't. From that, I infer that they may have made an agreement to quell or attempt to quell industrial unrest for the entirety of the administration.
I mean, similar to O.B. Ferguson? He said something similar like that.
That's what he said.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking now, going back to Vasco Bastian, in that article when he says, you know, we may have to close down the gas stations for 1 or 2 days, I pause and I say, no. The Retailers Association engaged in negotiation with the government for 30 months.
Mm-hmm.
Were they aware of the terms of the MOU that was signed by the trade congresses?
Mm.
Did they object? Why are you going to put me at an inconvenience because your negotiation strategy has been unsuccessful with the government? Why you think we should have sympathy with you if y'all have engaged in what I think is the most inappropriate political move ever, and union move. Imagine union signing MOUs with government, and one of the terms is to quell industrial unrest, right? But Why inconvenience Bahamians? Because your negotiating strategy was unsuccessful. Mm. Why put that pressure on us? Especially when you could have exposed the terms of the agreement mm-hmm. to the public, considering what I presume is a detrimental impact on your industry. Oh, another story here. Mr. Nuri, look at that text. The text says, Aaron, why is Guardian Radio calling the missing tourist a woman when that person was born a man? What's up with that? You can see that's a man. Dear texter, I am surprised.
They beat you, Aaron.
It's okay.
Don't go down that road.
I am surprised I'm surprised that you're focused on the person's gender versus the fact that the person is missing. We're going to shut it right down, right there, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah.
We have no space for that type of baiting. We have no space for that type of bigotry. A whole human being is missing, texter. And I am ashamed of you in this moment.
A number of Bahamians are concerned about labels.
Right. So.
But are they wrong to be concerned about labels?
We're never wrong to be concerned about, we should be concerned about labels when the labels are identifying things that we may consume. Like when you're going into the food store and you're buying products.
But isn't it a consumption also what you eat, what you see, hear? You consume that so you absorb it into your personality, your person?
In this instance, a person's gender is only important to you if you're going to be engaging in sexual or physical intimacy. What does it matter to you?
What about in conversation if I have to address you?
In conversation, if you have to address somebody, like you have to address somebody and you don't know what their name is, what do? You call them what I see? No, you call them Miss or Mr.
Okay.
And if you can't identify if they're a Miss or a Mr., you say good day.
Yes.
You find it with you. You know how to address people when you don't have all the information you think you need.
I understand.
You just be polite. Dear texter, again, I'm going to say on behalf of the entire Bahamas, we are focused on finding a missing human.
Want to stop with that now? I can always talk about that later.
Yeah, but the element that we were going to talk about with is different.
No, anyway, we finished that. Yeah. I talk about the topic in general. How serious are we in terms of finding this person? Is it urgent? That's the big theme I want you to discuss. What indication has there been to show that the Bahamas, when I say the Bahamas, I'm talking about the powers that be, mm-hmm. the police, the elements that would
the relevant authorities.
That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Have they shown that they are sincerely interested in solving Fang in this person thus far?
Okay.
And what indications have done that they've done so far?
All right. So when I saw I heard the news and I saw the missing person flyer from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So I say, okay, they're taking it seriously, right? Mm-hmm. They're circulating the missing person's flyer. But when I read this article in today's Guardian on the bottom fold of the first front page. Tourism official expresses concern following report of missing U.S. woman. As authorities continued their investigations into the disappearance of a Chicago, Illinois woman who traveled to the Bahamas to attend the Sivananda Ashram Yoga Retreat Center on Paradise Island, Ministry of Tourism officials flew into high gear yesterday, trying to prevent significant fallout from the growing U.S. media attention on the Taylor Casey matter. Stick a pin.
Yes, please stick a pin.
I'm perturbed by that.
That is suggestive language.
Yeah. If you are actually in high gear trying to prevent significant fallout from the growing U.S. media attention, then this story would not have focused on you, but it would on bad press. It
bad
would have
press.
Focused on the search effort.
Yes.
Being led by the Ministry of Tourism that has the resources. See, this is the issue. The Ministry of Tourism has the resources to mobilize people to conduct a search. The Ministry of Tourism has the capacity to engage the ashram and demand access for search teams on the property. We should have heard about dive teams mm-hmm. that have scoured the seabed mm-hmm. surrounding the property. We should have heard about tide charts, right? We should be all in the news. We should be hearing these keywords, tide charts. Which way would the body have floated if it were in the water? Mm-hmm. All of these, the absence of all of these things suggests to me that it's not being taken as seriously as it should be.
My question to you, as yet, you, have yes. you heard any press conference from the police force, any authoritative figure from the police force say, this is what we're doing. We're taking it serious. We have interviewed these several places. Any information the public has come this way?
I have not seen or heard in the papers. I haven't, just these stories. Now, the police, all the stories indicate that the police are actively investigating this matter.
We've been actively investigating the 15-year-old who'd been missing for a while.
This is the point I wanted to make earlier, which is it's important to note that what may be offered to us is this. This case is not being treated any differently from any other case of a missing person in the Bahamas.
I mean the regular nonchalant response?
That's another way of saying it, that you may think that this case is not being taken seriously because the individual involved may or may not be transgender. But the truth is, do we take any missing cases seriously? Like you say, let's go back to your reference. 15-year-old boy missing. The last we heard of it, CCTV camera observed a young boy in the company of an adult.
Yeah.
Right? I
would have shut the whole island down.
To find this boy.
To find this boy.
So when we get to this story here, sort of make a transition, but we're still on the same subject. Failure to probe corruption claim. This was in yesterday's Guardian. The United States said the Bahamas has failed to investigate corruption allegations against immigration officers at the Carmichael Road Detention Center and did not proactively screen for human trafficking among vulnerable communities in 2023. However, the Bahamas remains one of only 30 countries with a Tier 1 ranking in the U.S. Trafficking in Persons report, signifying the country continues to meet minimum standards for eliminating trafficking, and that the government demonstrates serious and sustained efforts toward this. When a 15-year-old boy goes missing and he's seen in the company of an adult who has not been identified as a family member, and even if they have, the first concern is this boy a victim of sex trafficking?
That's what I would assume.
That's what we all should assume. That the boy is a victim of sex trafficking. The other alternative is that the boy has been forced into a gang. Mm-hmm.
Which is a major concern.
Absolutely, and we surely have not paid enough attention to it. So is it fair to say that the Taylor-Casey matter is being treated differently because of the presumption or the knowledge that the person is transgender? We can't say that. Because it seems that all investigations into missing persons are substandard, do not reach or meet the international standard, and surely not the standard of our neighbors to the north. Now, I say in all of that, people in the U.S. will say, hey, we got a missing persons epidemic going on, and some Bahamians have been engaged in a small informal campaign over the last 2 weeks sharing missing persons flyers from the U.S. and mm-hmm. and the Bahamas when they pop up. And those people are doing it. I've had conversations with a couple of them because they were stunned to find out that so many people in the U.S. and children, minors, people under the age of 18, are missing. Mm. But
before I go on, I compiled a list. I put it on social media, things mm-hmm. that we should be doing. When I say we, I talk about the authority should be doing. Mm-hmm. And taking it seriously, and we discussed that already, right? I said we should be, since it's a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. we should have partnered with the U.S. Embassy and employ whatever extra abilities they have to come down and find your people.
Resources.
Come and find your people. Let's make, we're a tourist country. We want to make sure your citizens safe.
And feel safe and understand mm-hmm. that we are open and willing to working with the U.S. whenever necessary, in particular to find U.S. citizens, right? In particular, in the service of U.S. citizens, but also because the U.S. has always stepped up in the service of Bahamians as well.
Yes. I was also going to say, work with the family. We should have the family on TV right now. The Royal Bahamas Police Force, politicians, Minister of Tourism, meet with them and say, hey, we are behind you. We're here to support you. Because the whole world is watching,
yeah.
right? And humanize the story,
yeah.
right? Let people know this is a person.
And I think
this is a person.
It requires organization, right? It's not sufficient. Because I'm sure I could hear people say, now, well, Aaron, you're a gay rights advocate. Why aren't you leading a search? Why aren't you leading an effort? Well, one of the issues is the cost of mobilizing people and search efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even an organization. I'm an individual advocate. I just don't have it. The organizations that exist, I'm certain that they don't, unlike the Persons with Disabilities Commission, they don't have $25,000 just sitting around doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
right? The second issue is that this is the area that we're concerned about in terms of searching is technically on private property. And is inaccessible by foot from Paradise Island. Apparently, you have to go by boat to get to the ashram.
Mm-hmm.
And so authorities would need to be involved to ensure that permissions are given or that people are authorized to access that property to be able to conduct a search.
I have that also in terms of employing the lady's social community,
mm-hmm.
right? People are suggesting a lady might be a trans woman, right? Mm. There's a local community here who knows the landscape of where the community might hang out in general. They can employ their expertise and say, okay, let me go to beat the bush in this certain area, see if anyone
has interacted with
her.
Or heard anyone in the community talking about interacting with them.
And there should be a narrative by now. A narrative, the lady came to the Bahamas on Monday. Customs, see a picture of her. She coming through customs at 9:45. We have another picture on Bay Street where she's waiting on the boat, right?
Right.
That's 9:50. We sure she left on the boat, and after she left on the boat, we have no clue what happened, but we know that she was here. I'm not even sure if she was in the Bahamas yet.
Well, I think it's important for the Royal Bahamas Police Force to lead the dissemination of information.
Yes.
It's important for them to present the public every day with an update coming from them. There's just too much information floating around on social media that is completely and utterly unverified. And that, you know, that's where the Ministry of Tourism should focus on assisting the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? To ensure that they can get the messaging out, they have the proper language, they can spread the message as wide as possible, and that those messages are also reassuring, right? It's not the focus isn't on protecting the tourism industry.
I'm getting there. I'm going to ask you this question now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So far, we heard the Minister of Tourism coming out with a press statement.
Mm-hmm.
And the press statement saying they worried about the fallout.
Mm-hmm.
That's their main theme. That's their only theme.
Now,
what other theme they have so far?
Let's be fair.
No, but let's go by the article.
That is the first thing posted in the article, but that doesn't mean that that's their main theme.
What is the main theme then?
Well,
let's go by the article. What the main theme is? Just what the article, and then I'll assume, I'll bait you. Just what the article said is their main theme. Go ahead. See what I mean?
The article's main theme seems to be the effort to protect the tourism industry. The article's main theme. But that doesn't mean that that's the Ministry of Tourism's focus or their priority.
What is their focus or priority then? You tell me.
Well, I'm going through page 5. You talk while I scour this.
See, so my concern is the narrative. The narrative seems to lack empathy in regards to the missing person. One, you're supposed to show, again, when I say you humanize the information, we have invited the family down to the Bahamas. We are hosting the family while they're here because their loved one is missing.
Yeah.
Right? Whilst they're here, we are trying to get detail about their loved one in terms of what their social intercourse is in general.
Uh-huh.
Right? We are now pinpointing where all have the person gone to. while they're inside the Bahamas. We're working with the police force. We are working with the police force in terms of interviewing the last places she was said to have been. And the police will give further detail regarding that. That's what I should have heard. That's what I should have heard by now.
Absolutely. I will read an excerpt from the article.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking yesterday, Director General of Tourism Latia Duncombe told local reporters, quote, from a PR perspective, it's all systems go. We have meetings even today because we do need to get ahead of it and try and map it out. Tourism is our number one business. It is an ongoing police investigation. Our hearts are with the family of the person who is missing, and I'm sure the authorities are doing everything within their power to bring some resolve. Officials took similar measures to reassure visitors and potential visitors that the Bahamas is a safe place to visit following a U.S. crime alert on the country issued earlier in the year amid a spate of murders. None of the incidents involved any visitors to the Bahamas. Duncombe said yesterday, quote, the destination is safe and we have to make sure visitors do feel safe when they visit the Bahamas. Whenever there is an odd occurrence, it does increase concern, and we want to make sure we address it in a very measured way. Meanwhile, police officials and Casey's relatives are urging anyone with information about her whereabouts to come forward. Police recovered Casey's phone on the beach on Paradise Island. Casey's loved ones have created accounts on Facebook and Instagram. We are deeply concerned for Taylor's safety and well-being, Casey's mother, Colette Seymour, said in a statement. Now, when I heard the name Seymour, now yes. It's spelled S-E-Y-M-O-R-E, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, that's a Bahamian name, not the spelling,
yeah.
Pronunciation, and perhaps Taylor chose the Bahamas, not just because of the ashram, but because of a family connection. But not sure mm-hmm. at all. But yes, I like you said, what I would expect to see is not just the Ministry of Tourism saying, I'm sure the authorities are doing everything within their power to bring some resolve. You should tell us what the police are doing to bring some resolve. What have the police told you they are doing to bring some resolve? Are you asking for daily updates in the same way you're telling us that you're having daily meetings in aim of protecting the tourism product? All right, let's get to the text line quickly before we transition. Good morning. I just came from road traffic to see if my license plate was ready. I was told not until the end of August. This is from the beginning of May now. Aaron, it is very sad that someone went missing again, but respectfully, it should be stated that the person is transgender so the people would know exactly who they are looking for. I don't know what happened, but hopefully that person will be found safe and sound. Just know that men over here don't seem to love and respect women and most definitely have no tolerance or respect at all for trans women. Dear text, I'm glad I read the second half of your text before I responded to the first half because it appears as if you are trying to be empathetic. It appears as if you're trying to be empathetic, but let me just say this. I guess I was fortunate to look like my daddy because he's handsome. Many of us look like our daddies. Many women look like their daddies. Many men look like their mummies. I don't understand why you all think that this is polite. Forget polite conversation. It's a human being that is missing. That's all. It's a human being that is missing, and there is a profound lack of humanity being displayed by some of these comments. A profound lack. It's a bit frightening. Aaron, I just want the search party who is seeking to find the individual to be honest and genuine. Tell us if we're looking for a man or a woman. There's the same voice texter. You know what? When I saw the missing flyer, because I am a member of the LGBT community.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know, because I don't really talk about it, know. Do I?
When did you join?
I mean, it was 1995. Okay. That's when there were no dues.
No dues.
Now the dues is harder to join.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought this could be a trans person. but the police continually referred to Taylor as a woman. It turns out that Taylor's passport says that she's a woman.
A passport says she's a woman?
Taylor's a woman.
But that ain't said.
Thank you. That's all. So what if she looked like a daddy? It looked like my daddy, too. Thank God he's handsome.
Strong features.
Tex here, great show as usual. How come no one talking about this bad flu going around? This flu have to be COVID. Great show as usual. I saw a female. She looked like her daddy. She looked so much like her daddy, I did not get her number. That's because you used to wake with her daddy, and it would be odd. It would be odd. As I texted earlier on Dwight's show, I'm not sold on this idea of the police leading information release, and this is an active police investigation. Nonsense. The individual was walking through hotel lobbies. We don't know that. Walking out the hotel door, we don't know that. They had an itinerary. They ordered food. All of this would be known to
those. This person sounds like a police officer.
We don't know any of that, Texter. And that's not in the media. I don't know where you come in. How would you know that? The hotel comes under tourism. Further, the hotel should have released a statement. They don't answer. How do you know that the person was booked into a hotel?
I don't know that either.
Right? All of this is conjecture.
But this is the reason why I was hinting or intimating that this type of information should have been released. We should have known, especially if you want us to help. We have the public.
Right.
Has nothing to go by. We don't even suppose she was in an Airbnb or Nassau Street. Mm-hmm. If I knew she was in an Airbnb, I will go. If I see anything, I say, yeah, ma'am, I did pass that lady mm-hmm. on Nassau Street now that I think of it. But we don't know which area she was in.
So watch this. We're not denigrating, dissing, or chastising the police at all.
No, I'm just saying I want more information.
Superintendent Skippings?
Okay. That's a press release on lady.
Right. Does a wonderful job. The question is, are y'all compensating her appropriately for that job? Because that's a job outside of the policing, mm-hmm. right? That's a skill set that people get paid good salaries to employ, right? And so perhaps what needs to happen is that we need to build the capacity of the police press liaison team, right? Build their capacity, more training, more resources, more people, because the psychological weight of the job takes a toll on officers, and we should not just expect them to have to deal with trauma without proper psychosocial services. Another text. Good morning, Miss Green. You and I was taught to say sir and madam, or excuse me. Now it's hey and bay. But you could say hey politely. You could say bay politely. And it's in the tone as well, right? It's in the tone that we determine whether the engagement is respectful or disrespectful. Anyway, this is a concerning, sad and concerning story, not just for the LGBT community in the Bahamas, not just for Taylor Casey's family, not just for Taylor.
And I mind you, I know you're not, as a human rights advocate, you have not been actively involved in
this issue.
On a formal organization, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, are you aware of any of the community members meeting to discuss, say, well, we need the help? Because I know the community tends to be close-knit, right? So I want to know, say, hey, it's one of our members, in mm-hmm. quotes, we need to assist. And made overtures to the police force to say, hey, we here.
Mm-hmm. So when I first saw the information, I started communicating with the president of the Bahamas Intersex and Trans United organization. Not because I knew the person was trans, but I thought perhaps we could find out if the person is trans. And if the person is trans, then the community should have an eye on it, should pay attention to it, and should offer support if volunteers are needed for a search effort. Now, I'm not sure if those organizations are meeting formally or if they're constructing a formal strategy to engage or to assist the police in that research. The text here says, okay, suppose they weren't in a hotel, where was she? That's public information that could lead to... Oh, we're agreeing with you, Texter.
Yeah.
We're agreeing with you, right, that these... These are methods available to us to gather information. Are we using the surveillance that's set up in tourist areas on PI, right? Where the boat, where the ferry leaves from New Providence to go to the ashram? Has the CCTV in that area been scoured by multiple people to determine if that individual was found? And then there's another element that intersects with this, right? Just earlier this week, Pumpkin Eater referenced CCTV and facial recognition technology, right? This would maybe an instance where facial recognition technology, if employed properly, could assist in determining where the person has been, if they've been there at all. And Text, I agree with you. We accept too much mediocre information management. The text also says, though, that like tourism should be involved because they have an entry survey that lists an address, right? When you, the pink and white cards.
See, this text is thinking.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And the information that he's requesting, this should have been in the initial disclosure of information. We knew that she is in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
We see by the tourist card that she came in on this particular day, at this particular time. Her ticket says that she's going to be at this particular hostel or Airbnb, or whatever it is. The yoga place said yes, she registered. She came in that particular day. We checked that she's not there on the property. We have found her phone. I didn't even know they found the phone. Well, that's news to me.
I had heard that, but I had not heard it from a verifiable source like the Royal Bahamas Police Force or the Guardian or the Tribune, right? That it was reported that they found it. There's just too much information floating around in the informal media space, and we ask people to moderate themselves and don't share information if you cannot verify it. And if you cannot verify it, make it known initially. This is unverified information. And then say what you were going to say. People can't stop you from talking. I just want to say, text, I ain't reading that text.
And also...
I don't do it often, but I ain't reading that one.
Before we transition to the next topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bahamian must be mindful of our commentary. We know we are outspoken people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we are a conservative nation too, right? I know there was a discussion earlier about whether we should say trans woman or just woman,
mm-hmm.
right? And because of our conservativeness, right? But then I want to remind everyone that the spotlight is on us at this present time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want us to get dubbed as saying we are anti or violently against a community. Mm-hmm. When we're not necessarily that such, we are a tolerant society, but yeah. Our words can be vile and vicious at times, despite our actions of being very accommodating.
And we, from the advocate's perspective, right? When you look at how communities and society sort of works, we understand that when people are frustrated, particularly frustrated with systems that they must rely on but don't work for them, right? We tend to take our frustration out on the most vulnerable or those who we think should be at the bottom of the totem pole. Mm. We don't know the people. We don't know. The people talking, they don't know these people personally. And I doubt that many of the people that are saying some of these nasty things would open their mouths in front of that person and say it. Like you say, we ain't that disgusting.
No.
Right? We ain't like that. However, for those who are so concerned about the tourism product that you prioritize tourism over a missing human, then also understand that you have an obligation to measure your words and your speech, to moderate what it is that you're saying, if not in the interest of finding a human being, in the interest of protecting the tourism product that you A, love so much, or B, rely on for survival.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who mention potential tourist fallout. Is that word? What do you use? Which phrase do they use? A fallout of public media
Let me see if there's a, if they use the language. But yeah, the fear of bad press.
Bad press. What would cause the bad press?
So some of our lovely social commentators pointed out that there was an article coming from the Daily Mail, UK Daily Mail, right? And it seemed incendiary. You know, it seemed incendiary in some of its commentary. There's definitely some misinformation in terms of crimes against tourists.
The U.S. Embassy issued a fact sheet about crimes against U.S. tourists.
I don't think the paper read it. I don't think the person who wrote this article read it. Because the U.S. Embassy's releases clarified the initial misinformation put out by some foreign media house in January that is tourists that were killed, right? The U.S. Embassy, I think they defended the Bahamas in that instance and said, that's just erroneous information. We don't know where you got that from, right? And so for those people, what they were saying was, hey, people from Chicago can't be talking about crime in the Bahamas given the stats on crime in Chicago. But I just want to make the note that it was a newspaper from Britain that made the incendiary statements, that laid the story out in a way that would lead the reader to presume that the Bahamas is just a
Wild Wild West.
Right, absolutely. And so that was interesting, right? I think that Americans and people in Chicago are more measured in their rationale and their reasoning. They're not saying that.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned Wild Wild West. Yeah. I was going to save it for the other side of the show, but I'll mention it now.
We talking about Elutra?
No, we talking about CBS.
Oh.
Guns drawn.
I thought you meant no water. Like, no indoor plumbing.
We can talk about that too the next time.
Yeah.
But guns drawn. Military fatigue up. Big war men come walking inside the people's business. What's happening? Is this the new normal? Was it called for? What exactly happened? What were they looking for? People are calling it a raid. What kind of place is this place to be raided by such authoritative figures?
So we want to read the statement from the vice president. Well, so in the today's business section of the Nassau Guardian, VP visit to CBS from Revenue Task Force excessive. And I have the statement that Mr. Brent Burrows II posted via social media yesterday, I imagine, shortly after the incident. I want to read from that as well. But let's go to The Guardian. Vice President of CBS Bahamas Brent Burrows II posted a video to social media website X, that's formerly Twitter, yesterday of 10 armed and unarmed officers from the Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force entering the store on Monday to carry out an unannounced site inspection. In a rebuke of the task force's actions, Burrows called the visit excessive and unwarranted. He told Guardian Business yesterday that the task force showed up and asked to speak to the store's managers. Did their inspection, quote, seem to be satisfied with what they looked at, close quotes, and left without incident. He said the visit by the Revenue Enhancement Task Force was not necessarily, quote, helpful, close quotes, for the company, claiming that it is compliant with its taxes. Burrows said in his post on X that the agents who visited the store represented NIB, National Insurance Board, the Bahamas Customs Department, the Department of Inland Revenue, Immigration, and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Department of Inland Revenue's head of communications, John Williams, told this paper yesterday that DIR was not part of Monday's exercise at CBS. So who are all of those people with their clipboard in their hand? See, I'm not sure. I wouldn't say with 1,000% certainty that I saw a gun. I think I saw one officer with a high-powered weapon. But leading the charge were some people in pink shirts with clipboards. They was holding them clipboards, but like weapons. They come to tabulate.
I thought they were customs.
I thought they were Inland Revenue.
But does Inland Revenue need security when they come to do an inspection?
I'm going to be honest with you. I would never, ever presume that they would need security going to this business, CBS Bahamas, a reputable business like this, a large business like this, a corporate and community partner like this. Now, I know a couple little corner shop You go try talk about it. I come to look at your VAT numbers, mm-hmm. and people will run you. Mm-hmm. Say, come from my house. It's my house. You can't come in my house.
So what? Why was immigration there?
I don't know. So we see immigration, right? And the first thing we'll presume is perhaps it was an immigration raid.
Mm-hmm.
But do you take civilian public servants on an immigration raid? I mean, you may take EMT, you may take medical staff with you on an immigration raid, but people carrying clipboards?
Claire, this is a joint task force by different agencies all working together. So that means it had to come from the Department of National Security.
So pause.
National Security.
I know what you're saying there. I found this article, Government Launches Voluntary Tax Compliance Initiative, 4th of June, 2024, in the Nassau Tribune. The Ministry of Finance yesterday launched a week-long exercise to assist companies in becoming voluntarily compliant with the taxes and fees owed to various government agencies. Commander Bertram Boleg, chairman of the government's Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force, said the move will serve as an educational exercise and offer assistance to business owners who are not compliant with agencies such as the Department of Inland Revenue, Bahamas Customs, National Insurance Board, and Port Department. I don't see anything about immigration there.
No.
He explained, quote, the exercise is geared towards educating business operators in regards to operating a legitimate business. We have business operators who are operating. However, some of them have a step that is missing. Either they are not paying NIB for themselves or not paying NIB for their clients. Their business license expired for a couple of years and they can't get it because they're not paying customs duties or not paying NIB. So we are bringing all the agencies together to ensure if you have a problem with NIB, Inland Revenue, Customs, or Immigration, you can see them, and before you leave the exercise, we can get your problem solved 80 to 90% close quotes. Now, he references immigration, but why would immigration be involved in a Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force if you're not targeting boats in the harbor?
All that of that is peculiar to me.
Well, I got some you think it's peculiar? I got some questions, right? Mm-hmm. So after reading briefly from the VP visit to CBS Bahamas and the government launches voluntary tax compliance initiative, here's some of the questions I put. I just want to read them off.
Yeah, I might read the questions.
Why are RBDF and immigration officers involved in a revenue enhancement task force exercise? Why would civilian public servants join an immigration raid? Does including immigration officers, quote unquote, allow the state to avoid the need to get permission from the courts to access financial documents? Two, was this a show of force? Did RBDF officers have weapons? And were any of them high-powered weapons? Were any of the uniformed officers carrying weapons, not just RBDF? Was it, quote, excessive, close quote, force? How long has the task force been in operation? Is the Revenue Enhancement Task Force referenced by CBS staff the same as the Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force? Referenced in the article, where would we find more information about the task force?
Mm-hmm.
And is the Revenue Enhancement Task Force the same as the Revenue Enhancement Unit? So when I searched the term Revenue Enhancement Task Force, which I first found in the statement by the vice president of CBS Bahamas, I couldn't find any specific definition or explanation or description of the task force. But what did come up were a number of Department of Inland Revenue links,
mm-hmm.
to article that also posted articles referencing the task force. But no, you know, you go to a ministry website and they'll tell you this Ministry of Economic Affairs, this is what it's about, this is what its purpose is. I couldn't find anything for Revenue Enhancement Task Force. And then I start reading about a Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force. And I'm asking myself, okay, sure, the shipping of goods come over the water. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're calling it maritime. But why are immigration officers and RBDF officers there? If it's not a raid, an immigration raid, and if it is an immigration raid, why are civilian public servants joining that task force for that activity.
Do you believe there's going to be a press conference or press release from such authority figures again?
If the press release is coming from Ministry of National Security and... Oh, you hear that music?
Yeah.
It's time to go to the break.
Is it? No, it's 11 o'clock.
At the other side of the break, maybe I'll remember what I was trying not to say.
Yes.
You're on the clock with Erin Green on this Wednesday Man Down mashup session where we combine the two shows. On the clock with Erin Green. Guardian Radio AM is next. See you on the other side of the hour.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.